Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Listen, you got through the week like we got through 9/11.
And a recession.
And the Special K diet.
And the time that James Franco hosted the Oscars.
And Ben Platt's wig and Dear Evan Hansen.
TGIF.
Hello, I am Donnie, and I am the cute one.
And I'm Chelsea, and I am the cute one.
TGIF cuties, and I never meant it more.
Ooh, this is our third attempt at saying the first two lines where we introduce ourselves, so toot toot, buckle up, motherfuckers.
Buckle up hard, like a crash dummy, because you are in for a treat.
No airbags tonight, or today, or this evening, or whenever you're listening to this episode.
So if you want to watch this in video form, only the third cut. The first two did not make it, and that's part of the reason why there is indeed a third cut. But there is a link in today's show notes to our YouTube, or you can just go to YouTube and search for I Am the Cute One Podcast.
Marvelous. Yeah. Well, let's not waste another moment. This week brought us the Kellogg's CEO telling poor people to eat cereal for dinner, a possible Kate Middleton sighting, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother's retirement, and the announcement of a Freaky Friday sequel and Willy Wonka Experience horror movie. And somehow we've made it to Friday yet again.
Barely. We're crawling
to the finish line. Yeah,
I can't wait for that Willy Wonka Experience horror movie. And it's Donnie Appreciation Month, so I get whatever I want. That's
you know
how
what?
Works,
congratulations,
right?
Donnie. You made it almost a full minute before mentioning your birthday.
Chelsea, I've been checking the mail every day, multiple times a day. And then when I go down and the mailbox is empty, I don't know if it's empty because I didn't get anything or because the mail hasn't come. So then Quinn was like, are you expecting anything? And I was like, no, but it is my birthday month, so anything could come at any time.
I guess that's true.
No, I did get two things. It's the fifth day and I got two things. And this is ahead of schedule. One was a t-shirt from Sloan of Mummy Dearest. Mm-hmm. I told her to design me a Alexis Nyers one. She did. And my second gift is this Burn Book popcorn tin from AMC Theaters that my sister got me.
I'm having deja vu. Did you do this on the Patreon already?
No, it just came.
Donnie, this is freaky. I swear to beans, we have had this conversation before.
Maybe I knew it was coming, but I didn't show you.
No, I literally just had deja vu, and I swear we had this conversation, and I swear I remember saying, oh, that's so cute. Huh. Did I dream this? This is getting freaky. Freaky Friday, Donnie.
Anyway, we're doing a little different this week. And by that, I mean, we're only coming with one thing we want to talk about because it's going to take up so much time. And that thing is The Traitor.
I'm so excited. So part of the reason why I am making it to this recording with just one active brain cell remaining is that the plague has hit the Onochels household. So I finally got the chance to catch up on The Traitors, which is the only silver lining of this situation. And my God, I have so many thoughts. So for any cuties tuning in that is not familiar at all with this show, it's basically like if you ever played that game Mafia in middle school, where there are a couple of secret traitors, the other people are the faithfuls, and they're trying to figure out who the traitors are. And each week somebody gets voted off and then somebody gets murdered by a traitor. And then whoever's left, either traitors or faithfuls, gets the money. So there's your little rundown.
So since you are fresher in this than I am, what are your just like overall thoughts of the season?
The only downside of season one that I saw was the unfair advantage of having celebrities and then normal people. It just didn't work out. So I love this all celebrity cast. I liked the fact that they set the precedent of bringing Kate back because I feel like that establishes kind of like the challenge lore where like anybody could be a returning player at any given time. I also like that they set the precedent of bringing that small little hobbit politician man all the way from Frodo Baggins' lair. I like the fact that like he wasn't a true quote unquote celebrity. Like it really keeps everything wide open for potential celebrities to be cast.
The producer, well, one of the producers, I don't know how many there are. You know, we don't fact check here. One of the producers just did an interview and talked about season three in it. And he said that he wants to surprise people with different casting. He doesn't want it to always be reality stars. And then he used John as an example and said, like, no one would have ever assumed we would have brought in a politician from the UK. So that's why we did. to keep people on their toes. He also said in that same vein, that's why they brought Kate back. And he also made it a point to say, like, people that want to see normies, that's what the UK version is for. It's all the same challenges. They film them, like, a month apart. So they, like, set up the challenges. The normies do it in the UK first, and then the celebrities do it for the United States. So he says that he doesn't want to oversaturate the market. And, like, he could have seven seasons of Traitors on a year. Like, All Stars, reality TV, just Bravo, just normal people, half and half, whatever. But he said he'd rather leave people, like, wanting more. So he wants to keep normies in the UK and celebrities in the US. But he is open to All Stars. I am going on the Traitors cruise in 2025. And it is, like, I think 13... Traitors players are going to be there, and five of them are, like, famous, and then the rest are all people from the season one. And the teams for, like, Janelle and Sandra and Bergie, they, like, sold out instantly. Within 24 hours, their team sold out. But the normal people are still at, like, 2% of what their team could be. People just don't care about them.
Wait, is that a good strategy then? Like, is there going to be a winner from each team?
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think they're going to leave it that way. Because Janelle just did a podcast where she said, and she didn't say why, but she said that people from this season will be joining as team captains now. And I think that's because they want to sell out this cruise, and people are not buying for, like, Andy and Jenny Lee or whatever her name was. So, so they did say maybe they will, like, do two team captains. So, like, Andy and Janelle, or, like, Susie Lee. Nobody's named that, but it is now. Susie Lee and Parvati, like that.
Okay. I'm going to just go rogue here. Can we talk about Parvati?
Go for it, but tread lightly.
She made me hate headbands.
Why?
If I were in that house, I would declare her my nemesis. You know that I love declaring nemeses, and I would turn to my friends in the house. I, of course, would play a very smart game. I wouldn't be advertising this to the greater world, but I would be telling my friends, like, this bitch, she is my nemesis. She is so fucking annoying.
Okay, but why does that make you hate headbands? She looks good in the headbands.
No, she looks great in a headband, but she just annoyed me so much on screen. I think it was, like, Pavlov's dog, where the bell rings and my mouth salivates. I saw a headband and I became enraged. She was constantly frantic in a way that made me feel frantic even watching. And I feel like she had great strategy. She knew what she was doing, but she did that thing that I think gets a lot of people in trouble in this type of game, where instead of just planting the seeds and trusting that other people are going to pick up what you put down, she really, like, spells it out and then, like, writes it on a chalkboard, presents it to the class, to the point that then it's like, oh, but now your hands are dirty.
But also, you are watching 24 hours edited down into 60 minutes. So,
are you watching some sort of live feed of the Traitors? That
we take all the times that she says, hey, anybody want to drink? Anyone want to drink? Drink out of this cup, and put it into a 5-minute segment, when really she did it over the course of 8 hours.
I'm not even talking about that. I thought she played the drink game beautifully. I think that actually that was the only time that she was able to finesse it. I feel like for the rest of the time, she just was so frantic and obvious. Yes.
Interesting. Now, I don't think any of the Traitors besides Dan were obvious. I think Dan fucked them both over on his way out. And I think they would still both be in the house today if he didn't do his little whatever the hell he did.
Yeah, what was that?
I think he just wanted to, like, if he didn't win, he didn't want them to win.
All he had to do at, like, any given point was, like, throw out names or, like, engage in, like, casual conversation. Because that is what Phaedra and Parvati did. Where, like, if somebody came to them with a name, they would say, like, oh, I could see that. That makes sense. But what about this? Yeah. And just engage. But Dan was like, I'm not going to talk about that. Because when I shoot to hit. And I don't want to miss. It's like, shut up, Dan.
And I understand, especially if they watch last year. Like, Suri won last year. Spoiler alert if you didn't watch it.
Look at you. You're learning.
After I said it. Mm-hmm. Suri won last year by, like, blending in and not taking sides of the fence. But I think, number one, it's already been done, so people are going to be watching after that. And number two, because there's no normal people, like, everyone comes in with these preconceived notions of you.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think that I can say what they did right and what they did wrong, because I would be good in the game, too.
I agree. I think that you are just reality TV gold, and people are stupid to have not already cast you on things. Well, and I will be riding those little coattails all the way to the top. So Godspeed to both of us. But Donnie, I feel like you would thrive if you were picked as an OG trader. Like, from day one, you're in the mindset of a trader, because I think you would go into HBIC mode. I feel like if you were a faithful, you might get too in your head about, like, who to trust, who not to trust.
That is very true. And I think I would maybe be like that as a trader, too. Because at some point, the traders are going to turn on each other. We saw it last season. We saw it this season. You don't want to have to split with three other people. So the traders want to get rid of the other traders as well. So the whole time, I think I would be trying to one-up them before they one-upped me. But really, that would make me play too hard, too fast, and I would probably go home first. But I also think I'm a great liar.
You say this every week, and it's becoming concerning.
And that will have to be something you work out in therapy, because I am a good liar. I can't take it back.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking, or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr., as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it. There are people who are good liars. I also want to talk about some fucking idiots.
Yes, of course.
Pete, that pilot Pete from The Bachelor. Why the hell did that man not accept becoming a traitor? That was so stupid. I felt like he was actually pretty smart and like he was putting it all together, but he just went way too hard. Like, he was literally having closed door meetings. There was no guessing who was in his inner circle. It was like from day one, he was like, oh no, like, please excuse us. We're going to be talking about you now.
I don't even think that is the problem. It's rude, but it's not the problem. I do think not becoming a traitor was a problem. However, I think he really knew Parvati was a traitor.
Yeah.
I think he knew she would have turned on him.
But don't you have to take that risk? Mm-hmm. You know, if you are given an invitation to join the traitors, you know, if you say no, you are the next on their list. 100%. So don't you have to take that risk? And then he could have still been secretly behind the scenes being like, oh, no, we need to get Parvati out.
I don't know that he did bad gameplay. I just think that the reason he's out, he should have just said, like, let's kick all the Bravo ladies out first.
He should have done that if he was going to be having his closed door book club meetings in the library. But he was also an idiot for doing that so quickly, because you can't tell me that if he had, like, batted his eyes at MJ and fed her information from time to time, or let her creep into a room and be like, oh, MJ, come sit. We were just talking about, like, who we think. He could have had the swing votes, but he never did because he was so clicky from day one. But I don't watch The Bachelor, so I have no context for who he is outside of the show. So we're talking about Pilot Pete, everybody, for those Bachelor Nation cuties out there.
All I know is on The Bachelorette, he fucked her in a lighthouse. Four times.
Good heavens. Yeah.
She bragged about it, so it must have been good.
Good for him. And good for her.
Yeah.
No, but I had texted Tom and Kix Hamlet of the Dumpster Dive podcast. Whenever I have a Bachelor-related question, they are my first go-to. And this was their response. I was like, what's the deal with this Pilot Pete guy? And they said, he's a loser, kind of a nobody, but also very horny. And then Kix said, very horny. And then they both said that they want his mom on the next season of The Traitors. Not related to the horniness, just a separate side character that they want her to be on the next version.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Speaking of horniness and his mom.
I don't love that segue.
No, Ekin-Su and Pilot Pete are dating, and people found out this week because Ekin-Su posted pictures with Pilot Pete's mom. And that is why when Ekin-Su was kicked out, that is why Pilot Pete went so hard against Parvati, because, like, she voted out his girlfriend. Like, they were dating on The Traitor.
Why did we get an extended montage of Kevin chewing with his mouth open when we could be getting footage of Ekin-Su and Pilot Pete fucking in some dungeon?
Lighthouse. Yeah. I don't know why. Mm. And speaking of an edit, I am shocked that we did not get more Sheree footage. Even if it's just her being dumb, like, we are not getting the Sheree we know from Bravo.
Yeah. Very true. Sheree was giving big Cynthia Bailey on Celebrity Big Brother energy. And I know that's niche, but look at what monster Donnie's created that I could even make that reference.
I don't think it's niche. I think a lot of people that watch The Traitors watch Celebrity Big Brother.
I talked so much shit about Big Brother for so long, and I stand by everything I said. People who like Big Brother have unresolved middle school trauma.
Now, can you finish a season of it? No, not for my life. But you do like it.
But also game recognized game. And my middle school trauma maybe leads me to be able to start a season really strong and never finish.
Fair.
Ever.
Your sister-in-law has a conspiracy theory that I think should be brought to light on this podcast.
Yes. So my sister-in-law, Sam, texted me, and this is what she said. I think the producers told Kate to go in and help protect Phaedra because they know she's great TV and loved by the viewers. At first, I was like, okay, sure. Kate watches the shows, so she probably likes Phaedra from that and also is suspicious of annoying men. But it's just too much and too convenient, especially when they made her a traitor, which I saw as soon as I started watching. But then also, if you noticed, she was the very first one who, like, jumped in and started laughing and kind of discrediting Dan when Dan was going against Phaedra. That, for me, felt like confirmation that she really, like, from the gate was like, no, 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 we're protecting Phaedra over here.
That could be true. I don't know about it, though. But I do think Phaedra was forced to ask her to be a traitor. Like, I think production told Phaedra, you can kill Kate or ask her to be a traitor, but you should ask her to be a traitor. She was so close with CT, and CT trusted her so much. I think that if she would have said, be a traitor or die, I think he would have been a traitor and been faithful to her, like, yes. even until the end. I think he would have been fine with them both winning.
I don't even think that she would have had to give him an ultimatum. No. Like, he is a challenge contestant. He's used to playing the cutthroat game. And I also think that Phaedra would have been here to the finale had she chosen CT, because CT flipping on her was all that house needed, because he was so loyal to her. Because it was CT having that separate conversation, being like, hey, we got to talk about this. I think Phaedra's a traitor, that totally locked in everybody else.
That's true. Now, you texted me last night and said, is CT on our Venn diagram?
Yes. So famously, Donnie and I, the Venn diagram of men we find attractive are just two circles. And we've found, you know, a couple ones in the center there. Is CT, do you find him hot? Because I have loved that man since him and Diem, when she ripped off that wig. I've loved him since the challenge, and I'll love him forever. I want him to say, how you doing, to me.
Does he say that?
He said that to Phaedra when they chose each other for the little woods walk. They looked at each other and said, how you doing? He pulled a full Wendy Williams / Joey Tribbiani.
Now, when I saw Wendy Williams on Broadway in Chicago, she was so bad. and this was before her health stuff took over.
Careful.
Like, this is...
Careful.
I can say what I want. I told you I'm not afraid of people. This was before her health stuff took over. She was just... fully, you know, doing the Wendy Williams show in the morning, doing Broadway at night, and possibly the worst performance I've ever seen on stage. She added in, how you doing, to, like, make it, you know, hey, I'm Wendy Williams, everybody. But she didn't even do that good. I was very disappointed. Anyway, how'd we get here?
I don't know, but tune in next week when we cover that lighthearted documentary that's out about her right now. Just kidding. We won't be touching that. Oof.
I think Quinn watched it. A lot of people use a lot of our accounts.
I'm logged in Maryland.
A lot of times there are things like half watch, but people like you have your own account on our stuff, and then they still refuse to watch it on their own account. So it'll say, like, someone watched half of a Wendy Williams documentary.
Somebody watched the first 75% of a Big Brother season and then stopped abruptly, never to return again. Who
you
could
know
it
what?
Be?
Big Brother is a great example, Chelsea. I'm glad you brought it up, because the Wendy Williams thing Quinn might watch, but, like, Big Brother, I know he wouldn't. So I go on and then, like, get mad that maybe he did finally watch Big Brother 6 without me. So I'm like, who watched this? So he told me I'm not allowed to ask that anymore. But sometimes it just comes out. Anyway, all this came from, is CT on our Venn
Correct.
Diagram?
Thank
and
you.
Here's my answer.
Here
if I could have a time machine, yes. Because the older I get, the more attractive he was when he was younger. But when I was however old I was watching him when he was that age, I didn't find him attractive. And now that we're both in 2024, I don't find him attractive on The Traitors. But when I watch clips from The Challenge of him in, like, 2008 or whatever, I'm like, oh yes, he was very attractive.
Okay. It's like when you look back on old pictures of yourself and you know that at the time you were like, I'm a hideous gremlin. Mm-hmm. Look at these under eye bags. Oh, baby girl, you were 21. You just need to drink more water and stop drinking Four Locos. That skin would firm right up.
This is a very sad thing to say, but I'm going to say it. Oh, great. I read a meme.
For those that have not yet realized that, what did you call us? We're not CNN. We're just shit in the streets.
Uh-huh. That's it. And this is what I read on my meme. It said, how you look today is better looking than you'll look the rest of your life.
Well, I hope to God not. I haven't slept in 4 days. Thank God I have these sunglasses on. If I were to remove these, it would be like Medusa, and everybody on YouTube would turn to stone just by looking into these eyes.
Let's try it as an experiment. Percy Jackson.
Well, back to CT being hot. I do often forget that you and I have very different requirements for the word hot, because I combine personality and looks together to form hot. So, like, yes, is CT looking a little bloated corpse that's just washed up from the Hudson, perhaps, but the personality, he could still do whatever he wanted to me.
Okay, now I kind of do that, but only to a degree. Like, a hot person with a bad personality, I would still blow, but not like. Okay, does that make sense? And then an ugly person with a good personality, I wouldn't throw in the trash the way I immediately want to. because of their personality.
Uh-huh. We started out so strong. No,
it's two sides of the same coin.
Okay. So that would be another one of our famous I am the cute one SAT questions. If a person has a good personality but isn't hot, would Donnie blow him or would he end up in the trash if his personality improved but his physique did not?
Yeah, that's fair.
And hairless cats are dogs. Now, we do record this podcast midweek, so would it have been smarter? Would it have made more sense to check in about Traitors next week when we could talk about the finale and the reunion as well? Probably, but we're us. But at this point in recording, the low talker got Phaedra, so she did get voted out in her Jerry Seinfeld puffy shirt. Uh-huh. I just wanted her to win. I was rooting for her.
So now that she is gone, who do you want to win?
Kate, I think I'm always rooting for the Traitors. I don't want the Faithfuls to ever win. Mm. I was rooting for the Traitors last year, and I was rooting for the Traitors this year.
I was rooting for the Traitors last year, but with who is left, I want Sandra to win. Old ugly Betty herself. Because...
what? Well, she did end up with a gash across the forehead because of the show.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
And a horcrux in those braces.
Why can you talk about her braces, but I can't?
Because, I mean, have you seen my teeth? I'm allowed to talk about adult braces. They're in my future.
Yes, your teeth aren't your best feature. But even if you had the teeth of a goddess, you can say whatever you want about this woman because it's not punching down no matter what you say. You can talk about her height. You can talk about her weight, her hair, her braces, her eye color, whatever you want to talk about. Because this woman has won $1 million twice. So you are punching up. Anyway, you cut it.
That's true. Who am I in this world? Just a bitch with a podcast in her basement.
Oh, God.
So you're rooting for her.
Yes. Yeah, I think she's the smartest. I think that she has played a very good game and somehow found her way in with the Bravo women. And again, this is a woman with adult braces. She does not belong on Bravo. But I forget that she doesn't belong on Bravo because she so seamlessly interwoven herself into the group.
You know what I think I need for next season? Number one, I would like the ability to give away your shield. Mm. Like, I would like the ability to protect somebody else. But number two, I think I need more in real time confessionals from the Faithfuls, because I think that I am famously always tricked by editing, and we get so much FaceTime with the Traitors. Their story compels me because I understand what their strategy is. I understand what they're doing. I get to see them in those awesome little velvet hoods. Like, I would want to hear from Sandra in real time being like, oh no, I totally know that Phaedra's a traitor, but I want to stay on her good side. And then maybe I would start to root for her more, but I'm just a fucking idiot. So maybe I think that I would be good on these shows, but maybe I wouldn't.
Well, maybe we can be on one together, like where we're a twist, as secret pairs.
I would love that, Donnie, but are you going to turn on me?
Not until the end. Like, if we were on Big Brother, and mm-hmm. I won the last step to household, and I get to pick between you and the other person who I'm bringing with me to the final two, if the other person was a lazy sack that didn't do anything all year, won no competitions, everybody hated them, I would pick them over you because I know I would win against them.
Okay.
If we were on Big Brother and I picked Sad Sack over you on finale night, that's when it happens, would you vote for me or Sad Sack?
I will have to keep that in my back pocket, Donnie. We'll save it for Julie. I'm not going to give away my cards now.
Okay, I'll tell you, if we were in the same exact situation and you picked Sad Sack over me, I would never forgive you. I would talk about it every podcast episode. I would start my own podcast called I Hate Chelsea More Than Anything in the World. But I would still vote for you to win because I would hope that whether it's gifts or a drink at the bar or something, that some of that money would shine down upon me, whereas I know Sad Sack would not.
Okay, so number one, you're already punishing me for doing what you've already admitted you're going to do to me.
And that's fair. And I'm telling you, if you're allowed to carry that with you for the rest of your life until the day we die, but still vote for me to win. It's just like this, actually. When I get bad service at a restaurant, I still tip 20%. But I ask for the manager. Like, I will complain about you, possibly get you fired, but I will tip you 20%.
See, I'm not a narc, so I don't do that. But I will tip well. And then if it's like egregious, I'll write a little note to the server. Mm. So it's just private to them. But then they know that I'm just keeping this between us, just us gals.
Wow. Besides Big Brother, what shows do you think you would be good at?
I don't know, because, you know, I do suffer from delusions of grandeur. So whenever I'm watching one of these shows, I'm like, oh, I would totally crush it. I think that in my heyday, in my like sporty spice era, I really do think I could have been really good on The Challenge, because I work very, very, very hard to keep my competitive side dormant. But if I tapped into it, I feel like I could roid rage out and become that bitch again.
Uh-huh.
I would suck at, like, Fear Factor. Like, anything that has to do with feeling trapped, like being in a coffin.
Oh, no, I could do that.
No way.
No, I think I would be fine. Because everything I'm afraid of, besides clowns, is fear of the unknown. Like, that's why I'm afraid of the dark. That's why I'm afraid of home invasion. Could it happen right now? Yes. Maybe not. Maybe yes. Like, everything is fear of the unknown. So just being in a box. You're
like, I was bound to be here at some point. Here I am.
It would only have to be a coffin. Like, they couldn't pour bugs on you halfway through. Like, just a coffin. Seal me up and that's it. Because then there is nothing unknown. Like, you're in that box. These are where the walls are.
I'm, like, getting anxiety thinking about it. I wonder if it's, like, a sensory thing. Like, put me on the top of the highest building.
No.
Make me, like, carry a camel on my back. I have mental toughness. I can get through it. But something about being confined, it's why I wear oversized shit.
That's why?
And because it's cute on me.
Too. Yeah, I thought it was a bisexual thing. I didn't think it was.
Well, I've dressed like this before I knew I was bisexual.
Well, you still were. You didn't know, but anyone who saw your extra large shirts knew.
Wearing something tight makes me want to just like rip my skin off, like unzip my skin like a skeleton. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
When we went skiing, I have not had a tantrum in quite some time. I was putting on those fucking ski boots, those stupid robot Terminator shit, and they were so tight. Ooh, I'm getting like, just thinking about it. I was putting on these boots, and I had a full child Chelsea tantrum. I threw them, and I went, and I stormed out of the room in front of my husband and two daughters, and Dr. Bald was like, what the fuck? So yeah, coffins would not be for me.
Now, did you have that tantrum because it was your family and you felt you can be yourself around them?
I was in public, Donnie.
Other people saw it?
Yes, this was a ski lodge. I truly, like, I lost control because I was so sensory overload. And, like, everybody was talking to me and it was really loud and I was really hot because I had all these layers on and I was putting on these fucking boots.
Okay, now I know you didn't have a choice in that. Your body turns against you and you react out of ways you don't normally act or want to act. However, if you did that before the finale of Big Brother, if you did that at the halfway point, I would have to unhitch my cart from you. I cannot be America's favorite with you behaving like
that. America's favorite pastime of talking shit on Twitter about, more like it. Shall we talk about the cutie of the week?
Let's do it. My cutie of the week is the flight crew and the people on board who had to sit next to Calvin Harris on his flight recently. Did you read about this?
I did.
Sickening. He ate 6 raw eggs during his flight to prevent jet lag. I know his farts were bad.
Who does he think he is? Joanna from the Rescuers Down Under?
Joanna.
So fucking gross. Celebrities need to get it together.
So gross.
Okay, so my cutie of the week is Backgrid Media.
What's that?
Well, if you listen, I'll tell you. You ready?
Go ahead.
So my cutie of the week is Backgrid Media because they stay booked and busy. This is the media company that is always responsible for all of the Kardashian-approved paparazzi pics. So they'll post a bikini pic of Kim on the beach that's clearly Photoshopped. When something's going down with Tristan, they're going to be the first ones at the scene at whatever the distraction Kardashian event is. But now they are responsible for snapping the out-of-focus, grainy, Bigfoot sighting-adjacent footage of Kate Middleton.
That's not her. I thought it was Holly Marie Combs.
Someone said it was Meredith Marks. Well, that's that, I guess.
It sure is. Cuties, another reminder, you can watch this on our YouTube.
And another reminder that you can also subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne, because we have been recording for 1 hour. Oh my God. If you thought that this was chaotic, double that on the Patreon.
Oh, have fun editing. Mm-hmm. And cuties, I will talk. There's two of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, see, you're already preparing for Big Brother. You're like, fuck this bitch. I'm out. America's favorite.
Now, okay, really quick. I would wait until the end to turn on you. However, if there was like a twist and they said like, Donnie, open this box and in it, something good will happen to you, but something bad or good could happen to Chelsea. Boop, opened.
And then they present me with ski boots.
All right, cuties, we will talk to you later. Love you like a sister. Bye.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donnie Wood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.